Hi, how's business?
How's business?
How's business? Welcome to How's Business, a podcast on what it's like to do business in the city of Chicago, created by the Institute for Justice Clinic on Entrepreneurship. Today on How's Business, we're welcoming Catalyst Ranch. Catalyst Ranch is located in the West Loop neighborhood. I just want to take it from the top, if you could tell me your name and the name of your business.
My name is Ivan Yaradomsky, and I own a company called Catalyst Ranch.
Would you mind telling me the story of Catalyst Ranch from little baby seedling to where it is today?
Catalyst Ranch started almost 17 years ago. I had been reorged out of my last organization after a merger. So I had this pile of severance cash that was burning a hole in my pocket. And it felt like it was the opportunity to do something that I would never otherwise possibly do. I had been working in the new product world where creative environments were required to do new work and ideate and come up with new ideas, but those sorts of spaces didn't exist at that point in time. I also had an interest in the physical environment and what effect it has on us as we work and live. So I kind of combined the two to come up with this idea of a creative meeting space, which is what Catalyst Ranch is. In the meantime, I had been working and scouring spaces to find the right sort of space because I had very specific requirements of natural light, a lot of room in each room. And so I found this space. I started with one floor, which had 9,000 square feet, did a full build out in about 5 weeks. And moved all my stuff in, and I kind of had no choice about where to start because I already had 3 meetings booked, even though the space didn't exist. So within a year, we were doing really well. All my loans had been paid back. I was able to start investing more money in, you know, fleshing out what we needed here and started hiring some employees. Within 3 years, I was running out of space. I was turning meetings away. So now I have 15,000 square feet across 2 floors, and I have 3 rooms on each floor. And then as we've kept growing and we've been busier and busier, obviously, every year, I'm now up to a staff of, like, I think there's 25 of us. The business has kind of exploded.
I think it's really fascinating talking to entrepreneurs. Unemployment comes up so often as the thing that triggers entrepreneurship. Before you lost your job, did you ever have a sense that you would go out into business on your own? And how did you make that decision?
Well, that's what's funny. It never crossed my mind once to ever run my own business. I'd come up through corporate. You know, you kind of get on that corporate track and you think that that is your only option. And I'm, you know, the oldest child of an immigrant family. So my parents, you know, met here, but they come from Poland. And it just wasn't an example I had in my community. There were a few people that ran their own businesses. But, you know, when you don't have those sort of financial resources, you're not really thinking in that way. You kind of think like everyone's pushing you to go to college and then you get a good job, you know, that pays well. But I had been kind of getting burned out anyway at this point. I know it's kind of funny given what I do now, but I didn't see myself as like the division president. I like to create. I like to actually be part of that thought process. And, you know, in a typical corporate environment, that's not really encouraged. If you're not moving up, then you're kind of blocking the way for someone else. It's like an awful feeling. You don't like being told that we don't see a future for you, right?
Absolutely.
We don't see you being able to contribute in a way that's valuable to us. So, you know, I went home and I tend not to stay upset for very long. I don't find it productive.
Sure.
So all these ideas that have been swimming around my head kind of solidified that night. And I was like, this is the idea. This is what I'm going to do.
Yeah. And little did you know that resiliency would serve you.
Right. You're just thinking, okay, is this crazy? But when else am I going to get 9 months severance? This was a once in a lifetime opportunity. And I didn't want to feel regrets that I never tried.
Is there any particular kind of license that you have to have to run a space like this? And then what is keeping up with that licensure look like?
Well, when I went to apply for my business license, the biggest obstacle was the fact that I was creating something new that wasn't in the books. It was very difficult to get a straight answer on what sort of license I needed to get. I started with a business license and that was enough. I was then opening the second floor 3 years later. It's a different building. So even though we're connected by an elevator, they're technically different addresses. So just to be in the clear, I went to extend my license to include that additional address. And that was probably one of the most stressful days of my life, because now all of a sudden they were telling me that I don't have the right license and I've been operating for 3 years. They're telling me that this sort of business cannot be in this type of building. They were claiming the zoning was incorrect. They kind of left me hanging there for hours and hours and had me running around between different departments and to the zoning group and trying to get all this stuff resolved. And there was no reason to have to go through all that hoopla because, like I said, I already had an existing business license and had been in business for 3 years.
In the end, was an unregulated business license the kind that you needed, or did you wind up having to get a different kind of business
license? No, it was the same license I had, just including that additional address. Then they all of a sudden decided I also needed a food handling license. That came out of nowhere. We serve food, but we don't cook it. You know, it's a catering company delivers it. But once again, when I was trying to get it sorted out at the time, you're at the mercy of whoever you're dealing with as your interface at City Hall.
And you said your team has grown to more than 20 at this point. Can you talk a little bit about what it's been like to be at the top of an organization like this?
You know, it was an adjustment because when you have a specific vision, especially something like this, where it's my aesthetic and it's like my eye to detail and I like things a certain way, you know, I just had to learn to slowly let other people take over those responsibilities and provide guidance. I try to be really careful about giving people the autonomy to do their jobs and not to micromanage.
I want to talk about something that's sort of popular in the news right now. People are always saying that folks are leaving Chicago. There's all these different things that are sort of squeezing small business owners. Is there anything that would make you leave Chicago?
I don't have an option of leaving Chicago. So all these things are going on that I may not be thrilled about, but I have to figure out how to function within it. There's no point in me speculating about moving somewhere else. I mean, I'm located here because Chicago is a great location for this sort of a business, given how many companies we have headquartered here, our airports, et cetera, access to talent. So I don't really have those choices. And plus, for personal reasons, you know, this is where my family is, and my mom relies on me for help. So I can't imagine just moving for business reasons because someone's offering a better tax rate or lower wages. You just kind of have to figure out how to survive and stay profitable.
You talked a little bit about your experience with City Hall. I want to pivot on that. And I wonder, have you interacted with your alderman in this ward? If you have, what have those interactions been like?
I haven't really interacted with the alderman. One of the directors who works for me, she tried working with our alderman when we were trying to get signage. So that was a never-ending struggle. I mean, we didn't have a sign out front for a very long time.
Signage comes up in every interview we have. So if you could take me from the top of your signage experience and tell me more about it.
Well, my landlord kept offering like, oh, you could put a giant sign on the corner of the building because they're right on the expressway. But I couldn't afford anything like that. For years, the most we could do is have almost like window stickers that were on our level and we're on the third floor. And then my landlord said, you know, we're going to be making some aesthetic changes, putting in some awnings, and where your signage is isn't going to work anymore. So we tried using a sandwich board because we have a giant sidewalk. I mean, it is huge. You know, a lot of shops down the street, whatever restaurants had sandwich boards. And so we go through the expense of getting this really nice sandwich board created that we would put out for events. And then we got a ticket. And I'm just like, what the heck? And long story short, the research after me running around asking all these questions to find out that there is no legal way to have a sandwich board, which is ridiculous. I mean, I understand having some constraints around, okay, certain with sidewalks, you shouldn't have it, or, you know, where it's going to be in people's paths. But I think there should be some reasonable way for you to legally have a sandwich board on the street. You know, it was really frustrating to find out that, like, the valet companies and all these other people that, you know, put out sandwich, because, I mean, it's not like you don't see sandwich boards, that it's just the whim of whether they, the person policing that area, whether they give them a ticket and or they just pay the ticket. And that's it. They just keep paying the tickets because that's their only option. So I don't feel like that's a productive way to deal with this when you don't give people a legal path. And then the next option up from that is hellishly expensive, right? I mean, we're not talking like a little incremental cost to figure out how to do, you know, like an actual sign on a building. So, you know, when that failed, we decided, well, what if it's one of those little banners that has the little rods that stick out from the building, similar to what they do on the lampposts, you know? And so he said he was cool with that because, you know, we have to clear with him too, because it's going to impact the aesthetic of the building. So we go through the process of finding someone to print it, you know, et cetera, the specs. From that point on, it became a ridiculous cycle of months and months and months and months. We thought we were in one ward when we actually are on the borderline here. So we spent all this time talking to the alderman's office, getting their sign off on it. They're telling us, okay, here's the paperwork. They get it to us. And you couldn't even work with certain signage companies unless they had certain licensing for the installation for it. I mean, it is so freaking complicated. And everyone's pointing at someone else for who the paperwork needs to come from. So we go through all this trouble, file the paperwork to find out this isn't for the right ward. And we're infuriated because shouldn't the alderman's office know if we're in their ward or not and tell us that from the very beginning? So then we had to start from scratch with the actual alderman for our ward. And you know, I mean, it was the most ridiculous process to get all of our paperwork in place to finally have a sign.
Well, your sign is beautiful. I saw it on my way in. And this probably goes hand in hand with what I just asked. But if you had any piece of advice for the city of Chicago about how to make Chicago a business-friendly city, what would that piece of advice be?
The biggest piece of advice would be to figure out ways to keep business owners informed of changes or improvements. Like if you have a certain type of license, nobody proactively informs you like there's been a regulation change or this is the way the procedures are. It's punitive. So they come in, inspect you, slap you with, you know, like this is wrong, citations, whatever it is. And you're sitting here going, nobody told me. It's not like I'm trying to break the law. So it would be great if someone from the side of the city would say, okay, all these people have food handling licenses, right? Here's some key changes, you know, based on the type of food handling you do, here's key changes you need to be aware of. Because isn't the point of it is that you want people to know why a change was made, especially when it comes to food handling? It's obviously to protect the public, right? So there's no business owner out there that wants to not
harm
be in compliance,
public,
right?
Sure.
We don't want to harm. So the health inspectors have had some really nice ones who understood that it wasn't willful disregard and gave us a chance to fix everything without jeopardizing our ability to continue to operate.
And if you could use one word to describe what it's like to do business in the city of Chicago, what would that one word be?
Challenging?
Challenging.
I would say it's challenging and anxiety ridden. Because the fear is anytime you contact them or ask a question, that it will lead to something that will add stress to your life, you know, like another requirement or something that you weren't aware of. Whereas if I call the IRS and ask questions, you would think that would be stressful, right? You're calling the IRS. I've never had a bad exchange with the IRS, and I always found anytime I was calling with questions or clarification, they were incredibly helpful. So I don't have that stress when I call or I'm seeking out information from the IRS. And so that's kind of what I compare it to, you know, where if the attitude was more, I want to help the business owner, then it becomes, here's some ideas for how you can make your business run better, right? And I know they do workshops and they try to help people, especially when they're starting their business, which is great. But having more of that attitude, or
like, how can I help instead of
how can I help?
Find a way not to let this happen?
Yeah. Versus as if we're the enemy, you know, in some way when we're trying to make the city better.
On September 18th, 2019, the city council introduced a new draft ordinance that would allow businesses to have sidewalk signs if they purchased a permit, which would cost $250 for 2 years. However, there has not been any hearing or movement on the ordinance as of the date of this recording. You can contact your alderman or the Small Business Center at BACP if you would like to share your thoughts on legalizing sidewalk signs in Chicago. Since 1998, the Institute for Justice Clinic on Entrepreneurship has provided free legal assistance, support, and advocacy for low-income entrepreneurs in Chicago. The IJ Clinic also trains University of Chicago law students to be vigorous and creative advocates for entrepreneurs. For more information, visit www.housebusinessshy.com.